Adi Lila Adi Chaitanya Charitamrita, pardon me, Madhya Lila, 25th chapter. And it's part of the purport to the ninth text. We read part of it this morning from the Namamrita. Kapariyar Janayar Vishnu Pancharatrai Tu Kevalai Kalo Tu Nama Matrena Pujate Bhagavan Hari Kapariyar Janayar Vishnu Kapariyar Janayar Vishnu Pancharatras tu kevalai. Pancharatras tu kevalai. Hello tu nama matrena. Hello tu nama matrena. Pujate Bhagavan Hari. Pujate Bhagavan Hari. Dvapariya janaya Vishnu. Pancharatras tu kevalai. Hello tu nama matrena. Pujate Bhagavan Hari. In Dwapara Yuga, devotees of Lord Vishnu and Krishna rendered devotional service according to the principles of Pancharatrika. In this age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped simply by the chanting of the holy names. And Prabhupada comments by quoting Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur then comments, without being empowered by the direct potency of Lord Krishna to fulfill his desire, and without being specifically favored by the Lord, no human being can become the spiritual master of the whole world. He certainly cannot succeed by mental concoction, which is not meant for devotees or religious people. Only an empowered personality can distribute the holy name of the Lord and enjoin all fallen souls to worship Krishna. By distributing the holy name of the Lord, he cleanses the hearts of the most fallen people. Therefore, he extinguishes the blazing fire of the material world. Not only that, he broadcasts the shining brightness of Krishna's effulgence throughout the world. Such an acharya, or spiritual master, should be considered non-different from Krishna. That is, he should be considered the incarnation of Lord Krishna's potency. Such a personality is Krishna Lingita Vigraha. Krishna Lingita Vigraha. That is, he is always embraced by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Such a person is above the considerations of the Varnashram institution. He is the guru or spiritual master for the entire world. A devotee on the topmost platform, the Maha Bhagavata stage, and a Paramahamsa Thakur, a spiritual form only fit to be addressed as Paramahamsa or Thakur. Om Agyanati Mimandasya Kananandana Salakaya Chaksurun Nuritam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So the Paramahamsa or Maha Bhagavata stage of life is no ordinary thing. And Prabhupada, by his appearance, his life, his teachings, and his qualities, his devotional qualities, has shown that he is in this category. And he is, in fact, as it is said here, spiritual master for the whole world. Srila Prabhupada was born in a family of Vaishnavas, and from the very beginning of his life, he exhibited the qualities of a great Vaishnava, that of an eternally liberated or Nitya Siddha devotee. I'm going to read a portion in a moment of a letter in which he explains how he never, ever in his life was without thinking of Krishna, was not thinking of Krishna. But first, he, in a letter to Jayapataka Maharaj, dated 23rd February 1971, spoke of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prediction that a great personality would come to fulfill the prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prithivi Teyache Jatanaga Radigram Sarvatra Prachar Hoive Morinam, that the holy name would be chanted and sung in every town and village of the world. It is the desire of Bhaktivinoda Thakur to preach the Chaitanya cult all over the world, and in 1875 he predicted that someone would come very soon who would individually preach this cult all over the world. So if his benediction is there, and my Guru Maharaj's blessings are there, we can go ahead without any impediment, but all of us must be very sincere and serious. Then, in 1970, he received one letter from Kamal Krishna Maharaj about his position in his present life. And he responds, "So far, I cannot tell you what I was in my previous life. But one great astrologer calculated that I was previously a physician and my life was sinless. Besides that, to corroborate, which means an unfinished yogi takes birth in a rich family or born of a suci or pious father. By the grace of Krishna, I got these two opportunities in the present life to be born of a pious father and brought up in one of the richest aristocratic families of Calcutta, Kasinath Malik. The Radha Krishna deity in this family called me to meet him. And therefore, last time when I was in Calcutta, I stayed in that temple along with my American disciples. Although I had immense opportunities to indulge in the four principles of sinful life, because I was connected with a very aristocratic family, Krishna always saved me. And throughout my whole life, I do not know what is illicit sex, intoxication, meat-eating, and gambling. So far my present life is concerned, I do not remember any part of my life when I was forgetful of Krishna." So these are obviously not the thoughts and behavior of an ordinary person. When Prabhupada was in Calcutta as a small child, many of these symptoms manifested themselves. I'm just going to read a few very brief passages from the beginning of his biography by Satsarupa Maharaj. He speaks when he was of a time when he was very, very young, and he says, "I can remember standing at the doorway of Radha Govinda temple, saying prayers to Radha Govinda Murti. I would watch for hours together. The deity was so beautiful with his slanted eyes." And he recalls in his home how his father influenced him to be a Vaishnava above, over and above everything else. He wanted Abbe to become a servant of Radharani, to become a preacher of the Bhagavatam, and to learn the devotional art of playing mridanga. He regularly received sadhus in his home, and he would always ask them, "Please bless my son so that Srimati Radharani may be pleased with him and grant him her blessings." After his afternoon rest and bath, Abhay would often go to a neighbor's house and look at the black and white pictures in Mahabharata. His grandmother asked him daily to read from a vernacular edition. Thus, by looking at pictures and reading with his grandmother, Abhay imbibed Mahabharata. Now, we've heard, but it's worth recounting again, how Prabhupada became very attached to the Rath Yatra festival when he was just small boy, 5 or 6 years old. He saw the Rath, or he didn't even see personally, but he had just heard about the Rath Yatra. He became so inspired that he insisted on not just going, but creating his own cart and organizing his own festival and carrying it out, participating in his own home. Ave had heard how Lord Chaitanya himself, 400 years before, had danced and led ecstatic chanting of Hare Krishna at the Puri Rath Yatra festival. Ave would sometimes look at the railway timetable or ask about the fare to Vrindavan and Puri, thinking how he would collect the money and go there. Ave wanted to have his own cart and to perform his own Rath Yatra, and naturally he turned to his father for help. Gaur Mohan agreed, but there were difficulties. When he took his son to several carpenter shops, he found that he could not afford to have a cart made. On their way home, Abai began crying, and an old Bengali woman approached and asked him what the matter was. Gaur Mohan explained that the boy wanted a Rath Yatra cart, but they couldn't afford to have one made. "Oh, I have a cart," the woman said, and she invited Gaur Mohan and Abai to her place and showed them the cart. It looked old, but it was still operable, and it was just the right size, about 3 feet high. Gaur Mohan purchased it and helped to restore and decorate it. Father and son together constructed 16 supporting columns and placed a canopy on top, resembling as closely as possible the ones on the big carts at Puri. They also attached the traditional wooden horse and driver to the front of the cart. Abai insisted that it must look authentic. Gaur Mohan brought paints, and Abai personally painted the cart, copying the Puri originals. His enthusiasm was great, and he became an insistent organizer of various aspects of the festival. But when he tried making fireworks for the occasion from a book that gave illustrated descriptions of the process, Rajani intervened. Abai engaged his playmates in helping him, especially his sister, Bhavatarini, and he became their natural leader. Responding to his entreaties, amused mothers in the neighborhood agreed to cook special preparations so that he could distribute the prasadam at Rath Yatra, at his Rath Yatra festival. Like the festival at Puri, Abe's Rath Yatra ran for 8 consecutive days. His family members gathered, and the neighborhood children joined in procession, pulling the cart, playing drums and kartals, and chanting. Wearing a dhoti and no shirt in the heat of summer, Abai led the children in chanting Hare Krishna. When Abai was 6 years old, he asked his father for a deity of his own to worship. Since infancy, he had watched his father doing puja at home and had been regularly seeing the worship of Radha Govinda and thinking, when will I be able to worship Krishna like this? On Abai's request, his father purchased a pair of little Radha Krishna deities and gave them to him. From then on, whatever Abai ate, he would first offer to Radha and Krishna. And, imitating his father and the priests of Radha Govinda, he would offer his deities a ghee lamp and put them to rest at night. So these are all further symptoms of a Mahabhagavat or Nitya Siddha, who from the very beginning of life is trying to become more and more absorbed in worshiping the deity, engaging in transcendental festivals, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and distributing prasadam, which Prabhupada proceeded to do subsequently throughout his whole life. I'm going to read the 22nd chapters, verses 78 through 80 from the Majjhalila, Chaitanya Chaitamrita, which are based on a similar verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the third canto, 25th chapter, Lord Kapila instructing Devahuti on devotional service. These are the qualifications of a devotee. And by hearing about these qualities and remembering about Prabhupada, we can see how he is the embodiment of all these great qualifications or qualities of a devotee. Kripalu akrita droha satya sara samanido shavadanya mridu suchya kinchana sarvopakara kashanta krishnaika sharana akamani hasti ravidita sadguna mitabuka prama apramata manadamani gambira karuna maitra kavidakshamani. Devotees are always merciful, humble, truthful, equal to all, faultless, magnanimous, mild, and clean. They are without material possessions, and they perform welfare work for everyone. They are peaceful, surrendered to Krishna, and desireless. They are indifferent to material acquisitions and are fixed in devotional service. They completely control the six bad qualities, lust, anger, greed, and so forth. They eat only as much as required, and they are not inebriated. They are respectful, grave, compassionate, and without false prestige. They are friendly, poetic, expert, and silent. In the middle of August in 1971, Srila Prabhupada received many Vyasa Pooja offerings, and Vyasa Pooja had become a regular function, just had become a regular function of ISKCON. So he wrote several letters to different centers, and they were all basically the same letter. So I'm going to read that letter that was written to many different ISKCON centers. The essence of it reads like this. Generally, he would address all the devotees by name because Prabhupada was very personal and wanted every disciple to know that he was there personally for them. So he would read, "My dear," and then a list of names. "Please accept my blessings. I beg to thank you very much for your kind feelings of appreciation of my humble service unto you. You are all helping me in pushing forward this mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, coming down by disciplic succession to my Guru Maharaj. So whatever you have spoken, it is simply due to them. I am simply the via media to receive them. On behalf of my Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, Prabhupada." So here, Prabhupada is manifesting this quality, one of the first qualifications of a devotee, that of humility. He's not receiving these Vyasa Puja offerings for himself, and he's not setting himself up as being the ultimate authority, but rather he is passing these offerings on to his Guru Maharaj, and that way they go back through the disciplic succession to Krishna himself. So Prabhupada was very keen to establish himself not as a be-all and end-all. Of course, as devotees, our sentiment is that he is everything to us, but that he is a humble servant of his Guru Maharaj, and that his disciples are getting inspiration, even from his spiritual master, to speak these words of offering, which go through Srila Prabhupada, through Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, on back through the disciplic succession to Krishna himself. So this is the meaning of humility for a devotee. He never accepts worship for himself, thinking that I am great. But the mood of a Mahabhagavat, like Srila Prabhupada, was like that of the six Goswamis, who Prabhupada said they also never carried themselves as great learned men. They always carried themselves as being very meek and humble servants of Krishna. In one lecture he said, "The Goswamis never said that I can see Krishna dancing before me. That is not their mood. But they are the humble servants of Krishna, the servants of all, servants of everyone." And even Radharani, Prabhupada said in that same lecture, is pointing out all of the devotees of Krishna, saying how much greater they are than I am. So this is the pervasive mood of a devotee. He's always carrying himself as a humble servant. When Prabhupada was in his very last days or moments, he was saying how he was satisfied that at least he had given his life to serve others. So this great quality of humility decorates the body of a great soul like Srila Prabhupada. In that way, he is able to spread Krishna's message and mission all over the world. And he sees everyone actually as his master. When devotees offer obeisances to other devotees, they do so because they see the super soul in the heart of every living being. So they're actually offering their obeisances to the Paramatma. So in this way, Prabhupada is offering respect back to his disciples because he sees always the soul and the super soul in every living being. Even though they were his disciples, this is the humble nature of a great soul, a Mahabhagavat. Devotees are always merciful. This is another quality. Prabhupada is known for always being merciful. Even a disciple sometimes contravened the vows he gave, or did something injurious to the movement, or in some way did something offensive, apparently offensive. Prabhupada would correct his disciple and then always shower unlimited mercy and encouragement upon that devotee to continue in his devotional service. Just the very nature of Prabhupada's mission was to come to the most fallen, degraded part of the world at great risk, great difficulty, and to pick up such fallen souls. This is the ultimate merciful qualification of Srila Prabhupada. Even his friends in India advised him, don't go, it's so cold in the winter, they'll never become devotees. These people are the most fallen and degraded. So, following the footsteps of Lord Nityananda, Srila Prabhupada took the risk to preach to even the most degraded brethren of this planet, beyond anything he'd ever not only experienced but even imagined. That's the mercy of a great devotee. He's truthful. Pure devotee, Mahabhagavat always speaks the truth, even if it may be dangerous, even if it may be difficult. And Prabhupada won the respect of many scholars and common men as well, all over the world, because he was never afraid to speak the truth. Even if it might have been dangerous, or there may have been adverse circumstances, Prabhupada exhibited this courage to always speak the truth. Once he was musing how he called one professor a demon, and he said, but he appreciated very much, and Prabhupada was laughing, because he exhibited such a wonderful quality of humility that even calling this learned person a demon, the man could understand that there was some truth, and he also appreciated very much what Prabhupada was saying. So our time is actually up. Maybe as the day goes on, we'll hear more about these various qualifications of a devotee. There's one last thing I want to mention, and that is, as we offer these homages to Srila Prabhupada, we do so in the consciousness that we are here to serve Prabhupada in the mood or through the medium of Vani, because he is physically absent. The end of the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Prabhupada explains how this method of worship is actually more powerful and more important than serving through the vaku form in personal presence. And to serve the spiritual master in his absence means to serve him through his instructions. So to carry on what Prabhupada began in a very humble way, to give our lives to spread Krishna consciousness far and wide, and to penetrate and permeate every part of the world, or right here our mission is, in this country at least, to penetrate every town and village, every individual, every person, to give them Krishna consciousness. This clearly is what pleases Prabhupada the most. Of course, we have to maintain our internal purity. But this is Prabhupada's mission. And I'm going to end by reading a line or two from another letter that Prabhupada wrote to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. I'm reading this because sometimes there's a tendency that crops up, or we hear about, where we tend to separate Prabhupada from his mission, or we want to worship Srila Prabhupada, offer him our lives, but there's a tendency sometimes that crops up not to serve his mission, that somehow isn't necessary or important. So, of course, there are many quotes where Prabhupada says such things as, written in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Krishna has personally incarnated in this Hare Krishna movement, or in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And anyone who thinks he can please Krishna or engage in devotional service without Prabhupada society is living in a great hallucination. So here Prabhupada is writing to Srila Krishna Maharaj in 1971, 1st September, the day he was born on the Western calendar. He's speaking about Sridhar Mayapur, how it will be an institution for the whole world. He says, students from all over the world will come and we shall revolutionize the atheistic and communistic tendency of rascal philosophers. So we must be responsible for this great task. Not for a single moment shall we be without ISKCON thought. That is my request to you all. So we're praying especially fervently today that we can fulfill this desire of Prabhupada, that we can all become pure devotees, and that we can never be without ISKCON thought. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare.